Oh, hey there. Looks like you found yourself listening to Pass the Gravy Podcast. Unfortunately, Curtis, Cole, and myself were very busy with work, and we are unable to record an episode this week. We're going to bring you the 50th episode coming in the new year, but we decided that we would put together a best of the first year of Pass the Gravy, 2014, and kind of let you guys relive whatever you heard, maybe. Maybe you haven't heard it all. Maybe you've not listened at all, and this is the first one you're hearing. So now you'll understand why you should listen in the future, starting with episode 50, after you finish listening to this one. So I don't really know what else to say. Here we go. Pass the Gravy. Best of 2014. Listen.
I'm a working man. I gotta pay my bills.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
Oh, look at me! The millionaire who goes to see doctors!
You should just smile and follow me!
You filthy animal.
What is this, a prey?
The game is cold, but it's crazy.
And don't you ever forget, you're free to do what we tell you.
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
The only thing I think of when I think of my kids growing up in this country, if they say, Dad, what do we have left that's American-owned? And I say, son, I mean, there's not much to choose from, but that's what we have Pabst Blue Ribbon for.
Child, please.
So I went to the jukebox, and I had one credit. I played a popular song, and I had one more credit, and I couldn't find a good song. So I played...
What was the first song you picked?
It was a popular song.
What was it?
Chris Brown's latest hit, Don't Wake Me Up, because who likes being woken up when they don't want to be woken up? Nobody.
So, a sensitive, emotionally...
drunk.
Wrecked, drunk girl, and you play a song by an artist who beat his girlfriend.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to send
you a
message.
I didn't think about it. I just like the way the music sounds to my ears.
Okay. What was the second song?
It was a Cher song.
Do you believe in life after love?
Yeah.
Her friend,
she called her friend and met up with her.
Which is always good when you're on a date, when they call their friend to come meet them up.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, come be a third wheel. Get me out of this.
So, instantly the friend looks at her, she goes, we need to go to the bathroom now. And this girl had been saying, she'd just been saying, cocaine time all night. So I was like, I already
seriously?
I don't know if it was serious. I didn't know. I just met this girl.
If you had to guess,
I just
would
met
you have
the
said
friend.
It was seriously?
I think so, because they were in the bathroom for 10 minutes.
Is that how long it takes to do cocaine? Or like,
I don't know.
Don't you just snort it right away?
I don't know. I'm asking. In the movies, it takes way less than 10 minutes.
Well, so they probably did a lot of cocaine.
Anyway,
yeah. Pulp Fiction, she did it like in seconds.
Yeah. 10 minutes, they might have been doing a little more than cocaine, dude.
Yeah, I don't
maybe
know.
They were lezzing out in the bathroom.
I don't know what the fuck happened. Anyway, she comes back out, and she just sits down and looks at me, and she goes, are you gay? I said, what the fuck did you just say? The fuck did you just say? She's like, are you gay? Like why?
Cher song.
Why'd you play
up.
A Cher song? And I was like, I thought it was fucking funny.
So you gotta be gay to play Cher now? Now I can't be straight and like Cher?
And she's saying weird things. She's like, you have beautiful eyebrows. I don't know if she was fucking with me. I was just like, all right, I need to fuck it. And the worst part is, like, I couldn't just be like, all right, I'm out of here. I'll see you. I didn't fucking take her home.
You should have made her friend take her home.
They were all coked up, I guess. I don't know if you can drive on coke.
So she got coked up, and then
I don't
did
think she got coked up. I don't know if they did coke. She was fucked up. And
so she got hammered drunk. She asked if you were gay. She told you you have gray eyebrows. Whenever she got back in your car, was she like back to like paranoid, terrified state?
Not really. We're pretty relaxed, just talking, hanging out.
She was probably hammered.
Yeah.
And coked up, so she didn't care.
Yeah. She's bluffing, dude.
She's a bacha.
Bluffing.
Bacha, malarkey.
She texted me this morning. And
when you dropped her off, like, did you get like a goodbye hug?
I got a hug, and I was like,
was it one of those awkward hugs? Like,
no,
see you later.
Here's
champ.
Another thing. So I walk her to a door because I'm a fucking gentleman,
right?
That's right. I didn't want any boogeymen to get her. So
or rapists.
Yeah, that too. So
I think boogeyman just means rapist these days. Like,
yeah.
Let's just agree that boogeyman just means rapist.
Yeah, we can go with that.
So we're standing there, and she's like, "All right," and then she sticks out her hand to like shake my hand, and I was like, "I don't." At this point, I'm like, "I don't give a shit about you." I'm here to have a handshake.
You gave her a handshake?
No, and then she goes, just kidding, and then gave me a hug, and then she's like, all right, good night, and I ran inside. I was like, what the fuck just happened the last 6 hours of my life? Am I being fucking watched right now? Is this a joke?
I've got my long-lost buddy, Matt. I'm going to be over here in Stripper Alley, and I believe you said you had a few stories of your own from here down in West Time.
You know, it's like walking into a time machine, because as I was approaching your apartment, I myself used to call Stripper Alley home.
It's a good feeling.
I don't know. I've been married 8 years now, so for about 5 years previous to that, so 2002 to 2006, or 2001 to 2006, I was right up the street from here. The names of some of the clubs have changed.
They do change quite a bit.
But I imagine some of the same ladies of the night are there. Surprisingly, Westheimer has a huge Portuguese population. Brazilians. But very, very large. I lived in a complex that I referred to as Ghetto Melrose Place. It looked like Melrose Place. The setup, it was like about 6 or 7 different units all around the pool, except it was really, really old. It was really, really old.
So we did it at all.
We called it Ghetto Melrose Place, and all of the residents were either old or Brazilian strippers, and then me.
That's a fairly good demographic, though.
It was very, 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 very bizarre. We had some fantastic pool parties.
I was about to say, you had to get a lot of good action
and
at the pool.
And even then, like, when I was, this was my first radio job way back when at 610, when I think I was making, my base salary was like $25,000 a year. So I was hardly banking at all. But
you make more than me now.
But when you're, well, you know, but when your rent is like $425, including your electric and gas and water and cable, you feel like you have the world at your fingertips. And my car, I was doing commercials for a car dealership, so my car was taken care of. The guy that ran the car dealership gave me a Chevron card, so I'd have to pay for gas, and they were paying for my insurance too.
That's
so I'm paying $425 a month. I might occasionally go to the HEB over here on Westheimer, which I think is closed now, or it's about
to,
right?
HEB up here.
Okay, well, I think
it's one of the greatest cheese departments you could ever find.
Well, it's where I got my ramen noodles, and so, you know, I would, my bills were basically nothing. So even though $25,000 isn't a lot of money, living out on my own for the first time after college, it was like, I was banking, and I might occasionally take a tour of some of Westheimer's fine establishments.
You know, you're going to look into your surroundings, obviously.
I thought maybe that I might write like a Zagat's guide for adult dancing establishments sometime. But there's probably a market for that. But yeah, so.
Did you have a favorite of these?
Well, I could say that I have a friend who owns a place over off 45, so that's probably my favorite because I never have to pay for drinks. That's because nice. I'm not really sure why it is that strip clubs get to inflate drink prices
so it's
by
like
$75
for a Bud Light.
This right here is a 12-ounce Bud Light. You know, normal bar, you wouldn't pay more than maybe $3 for this.
Right.
Somehow, the second a nipple appears, the price of this goes up by about 150%.
Pass the gravy. Pass the gravy. Pass the gravy. Pass the gravy, bitches.
Let's get right into it. Where do vampires come from?
That's a good question. A lot of people out there like to say that vampires can be made or that they're awakened by a sire. Unfortunately, this isn't true. We're born the way we are, and if you're not born one, you're not one. You're never going to be one. That's the flat-out bottom line.
So how do you know you're born one?
people usually start realizing that there's something different about them between the ages of 7 and 14, pre-puberty. It starts very early. For a lot of us, it's being able to feel other people's energy, being able to sense when someone is upset. There's a lot of empathy involved. And we tend to be more sickly as children growing up.
So you get sicker more often?
Yes. There's a lot of discussion out there regarding why we are the way we are. And some people like to say that we're something else, but we're not. We're just human. And we have an energy deficiency. And there are a lot of people who want to dismiss even that. And the problem with that is that there are a large handful of physical disorders, disabilities, illnesses that we share in common. And the number of those is far too great to just be coincidence. So when we start realizing at a younger age that we're not like everyone else and we're having problems doing things that everyone else should be able to do and can do, you know how kids are. They can be cruel. They spot things. And the moment someone stands out, they isolate you. And that's something we have to learn to deal with right off the bat.
So like, do you go to a doctor to be diagnosed, or is it kind of a self-diagnosis?
It's a moment of self-awareness. It's like when someone realizes that even though they've been raised to be Christian, they're actually Buddhist, or they're actually Hindi or Muslim. It's a moment of self-awareness where you realize everything that you've been taught should be right isn't right. And the only thing that makes sense is what feels right. There are people out there walking around who are energy vampires and have no idea because they refuse to accept the simple truth that they're not producing a certain type of energy in their body, and the only way to get it is from other people. And I'm sure both of you have been in a room where someone has walked in and the life just dropped out of the room for no reason.
That's interesting.
And typically that is an energy vampire who doesn't know what they are walking into a crowd miserable, and suddenly they're feeling a lot better and everyone else is miserable.
Okay.
So just for everyone else's sake, the energy vampire is like someone who like kind of takes in, feeds off everyone else's energy and kind of sucks out of the room, to say?
Generally when that happens, they're not aware of what they are. Actual self-aware energy vampires are very cautious and very careful about what they do and how they do it. One of the rules within the community is never take without being freely given. Never. It's a big no-no. And it can get people in a lot of trouble for doing it.
Like legal trouble?
Depending on what they do, yeah. If someone is really stupid and doesn't try to educate themselves about what they are and does something incredibly stupid, yeah, they can get in trouble with the law. But for the most part, we go out of our way to make sure that we don't do anything wrong. I'm sure you've seen on TV people being accused of being vampires doing horrific things. They're not part of our community. None of them are. And whenever the media starts throwing around the word vampire, it makes every one of us cringe and just brace for impact because we know it's coming. And it's an unfortunate thing that we have to deal with.
So there's a bunch of this, like you wouldn't consider them vampires then?
Not even a little bit.
It's like someone who just watched a vampire type genre movie and just is like, oh, I want to do that, and they just go out and make a menace of themselves.
Exactly. There are stupid people everywhere, and there are weak-minded people everywhere who are easily influenced. And you will find that the majority of actual vampires are very intelligent, very strong-willed, and very, very much aware of their surroundings and who's around them. There are vampires in all walks of life, from the lowest person down all the way up to the highest person. And there are people who really like to keep their night side separate from their day side, and that's what we refer to it as. The mask we wear when we're in public is our day side, and our night side is who we really are. And a lot of people like to keep that separate. Feeding practices are extremely personal and private. I can't imagine you'd want to go out and tell anyone just exactly blow by blow how you had intercourse with your significant other.
I tell people that every day. That's what Facebook says. Yeah.
I'm not the average person.
I'm just kidding. I feel you.
I'm my own best friend.
It's a personal thing, and we do what we have to do, but we make sure that we do it safely and cleanly so no one gets sick, gets infections, or anything like that. We're very careful about it.
So everybody's tested?
Yes.
All that.
God's yes. It's a requirement. If you're going to be a donor, you've got to be tested. You can look this up. It's called the Donor Bill of Rights. It exists out there, and it's something that a lot of us use as a guideline when dealing with donors.
Can vampires, like, when you see someone you know that they are, like, can they people hide it so well that you can't tell? Like, can you self-identify or identify others?
Yes and no. I'm going to say yes to that because I have been extremely successful in identifying others without them saying anything and catching them later on and confronting them on it. Not so much as in an aggressive way, but hey, it's nice to meet you. I think we have something in common. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
You know. It, because, like I said, keeping our day sides and our night sides separate is a really big deal. I do not build that wall between them myself. I'm fairly open about it. But a lot of people do because society really frowns on the idea of someone identifying as a vampire. You know, I've known people who have lost their jobs, lost their homes. A few people have even had their children taken away from them. It's society frowns on what we are so much that we have to keep what we are secret for the most part. And it's really stressful, and it takes a lot. It takes an incredible toll on our self-esteem, on our self-control. It just breaks us down to the point where hiding really is the best option we have.
Well, there's not really a lot of laws. Like, there's laws against firing someone over their sexualism or, like, the color of their skin. There's nothing really being like, oh, well, we fired him because he's a vampire. And they're like, oh, we could probably say that, and nobody would believe us.
I think it's because people are just uneducated about true. What a vampire is. You know?
Yes. There is a lot of misconception about what we are. We're not the TV Hollywood movie idiots and monsters that are portrayed in films and sitcoms, etc. We're real people. We live real lives. We have real world problems. We have to worry about our bills. We have to worry about our children. We have to worry about our family members. We have to worry about our cars, having enough money for gas. It's everything that everyone else deals with the added weight of having this deficiency and knowing how society looks at us.
Pass it around. What soap do you use, like body soap?
I use sandalwood soap.
Exactly. You mean you're
what
fucking...
What the fuck is
yeah,
that?
Sandalwood. Exactly. He's high maintenance
it's
for
made
men.
Of wood?
I bought it from Ulta.
What is
like
that?
That's a chick store,
it's
right?
It's a chick store.
It's like self-perfume and
there's
makeup.
It's like Victoria's Secret, but
no,
they sell
not.
Men's
yeah, stuff. Yeah, Forever 21 has a men's department, too. They make it like a men's store.
I don't shop it Forever 21.
You shop at Ulta?
I do shop at Ulta, and I get my hair cut at Ulta.
Your hair cut at Ulta?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah. Alex wouldn't know that.
Nice. Can you get your balls waxed there?
Your what?
Your balls.
Your balls.
Your balls.
Your balls.
B-A-W-L.
You know, your sack.
Oh, God. You know, with your cock comes the balls.
Your ball bag.
No, do you guys really want to actually hear about Ulta, or do you want to hear about things that I actually dislike? Because it seems like that you're trying to
hear about a little bit of both.
I know.
It seems like you're trying to poke the bear about my tastes and my.
Do you speak of yourself as a bear in third person?
It's more of a metaphor. I'm not actually a bear. I'm actually a very average sized man. But you guys aren't hearing me out. First of all, there's a line from the TV show Girls, which I am a big fan of, where a character on the show says, there's a difference between negativity and critical thinking, and I highly agree with that statement. Just because I'm a critical thinker doesn't mean I'm negative. And I've gotten that a lot.
You seem pretty negative.
No.
There's a difference between a taint and a cunt.
Better amusement park ride based off a movie. The King's Speech or Precious the Ride?
Oh, man. Does Precious the Ride have a chicken tunnel?
What would the King's Speech be? Like, I don't even know how that would be a ride. You have to talk with a stutter and like watch this guy learn
how to
talk.
You have to just listen to someone study you while you're riding something that's going just awkwardly slow through a tunnel.
If the ride's anything like the movie was for me, the ride will be a 2.5-hour nap.
That's all it is. You just lay in a bed.
So then it actually makes it a really tough decision, because do I want a 2.5-hour
like
nap?
Naps.
Or do I want a steel chicken?
What would Precious be? Obviously, it'd be something fat.
I feel like the Precious Ride would be a prequel to the King's Speech ride. Because I would just eat that bucket of chicken and then pass the fuck out. So I think we combine them.
Combine them, yeah.
The tour of Academy
Awards.
Just
lead into one?
Yeah.
I would assume Precious the Ride would be like one of those log rides where you just go down on a fat person, or you just go down a fat person and just get splashed with the water.
So you would actually ride Precious into water.
Well, maybe not like the actual Precious, but that would be what they made the logs look like.
Yeah. Take a shit ton of logs to make that happen.
But then you're going into water. Then you go into water, and that's not a thing I don't think Precious likes.
Yeah, no, that's a stereotype.
You land in chocolate. Well.
You a chocolate? What if you flume into chicken?
Just a big ass bucket of chicken.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Great.
Alright, I might have to go with Precious then. If you get a snack at
the end.
Yeah, I would go a snack at the end.
Right, so Precious the Ride then. And,
Precious the Ride.
I would love to see like Walt Disney World like use that as like a promotion to like get people to go to their park. And
we
coming
should,
this fall.
We should work with Planet Hollywood and open a theme park of movie rides that's just fucked up movie rides.
Every Nick Cage movie ever.
Like Philadelphia the movie. It's just like a slow moving teacups in a courtroom where everyone's talking about how much AIDS they have.
What would be the worst movie to make a ride out of?
I don't know. Black Snake Moan?
You know, it'd be a cool one to be Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah.
On that.
Yeah, that would be a cool ride.
Popping out of
you get the actual Samuel L. Jackson to be in it.
Or you just record him cursing and saying shit.
Yeah.
He only has one line, and there's too many motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane. It just plays over and over.
Yeah, no, I think that would be good. You know what else would be a really good ride is Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, the ride.
Another snack.
Rain falling into your face holes.
You can make it a restaurant, too.
Yeah, it is a restaurant. It's a restaurant ride.
You just
it's a new
like
thing.
A merry-go-round. You just spin around the whole time slowly.
Yeah, there's no menu.
I hope you like meatballs.
They drop shit into your face. You come out, they give you a wet nap, you go on to the next ride.
And they're not gluten-free, you bitches.
Like you're sucking fucking Winnie the Pooh's Honey Hunt or some shit like that. Go to that next. You could have a Shrek ride. where they show you really hot chicks, and then you have to fuck the awful ogre version of those hot chicks.
Which is like, you only got, like, if there was a girl like that, but you could only get so many fucks with, like, the hot version of her, would you just, like, only fuck the hot version until you couldn't anymore and then you'd leave her, or would you be like...
would space them out.
Yeah, would you... I don't know, like, would you, or would you be that shallow?
Yeah, would you keep her hot, is what you're saying? And I would fuck her immediately and get her to Ogre so we could get past the bullshit.
Pass the gravy. Pass the gravy. Pass the gravy. Pass the gravy, bitches.
Boobs, and for the most part, the female form is universally loved, yeah. Right? Everyone loves boobs. And for the most part, like, a naked lady is not offensive. I mean, there can be some offensive naked ladies, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. But for the most part, like, if a lady's naked, it's like, well, I mean, maybe I didn't want to see that, but is that the worst thing in the world to see?
Right.
Naked dudes? Like, what? 45% of the country, or I mean, just the population, like, would not mind seeing a naked dude, if even that, because you know, dudes don't want to see another naked dude.
Right.
Well, for the most part, I mean, some guys obviously
there's
do, but like, there's nothing wrong with that. But you know, but just in general, like, just in general, like, the vast majority of people is like, ah, naked dude, we don't need to see naked dude. It's just they don't, and it's right. An erect penis is aggressive and threatening, mm-hmm. and just like. I mean, we've all seen a lot of erect penises in our day on the internet, the monitors. But that was kind of by choice because we were hunting for things that were doing things to that penis.
Right.
But
we weren't seeking them out. Alone,
right.
You know?
It wasn't. Yeah. The penis didn't come.
A surprise erect penis.
Surprise.
Terrible
surprise
thing.
Penis. Didn't just kind of pounce out of nowhere, like, ah, his dick, like, ah. Yeah. Yeah. It's just maybe if guys just stop taking pictures of their boners, how about that? A moratorium on boner pics? Then it would
I'm
be happy.
I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. I'm all for it.
Yeah, no boner pics. This is another thing guys do, though, is, like, they kind of backpedal. They say they actually, like, have you ever, like, tried to talk to a girl and didn't know how to do it, so you send her a message. You're like, oh, sorry, I accidentally sent you this. I meant to send to someone else or something. It's just a way to, like, backtrack. And, like, it takes away responsibility from your action as well.
Oh, well put, yeah. But, I mean, like, is that your – I mean, how can that be the opening move? Oh, my dick is giant.
Oh,
oops.
Yeah.
Sorry. By the way,
that to you.
The guy attached to this giant penis is also – a pretty cool guy. Yeah. How you doing? I mean, that's not... I don't think women, most women, the vast majority of women, do not respond well to your opening move being, by the way, my dick is X amount of largeness. Or it just... That sentence didn't make any sense.
Every time when I send pictures to women, I usually just send them, like, a foot picture. And I'm just like,
yeah.
Hey, you like that? There's more where that came from. I got a left foot, too. And then I'm like, you want to see my calves? And just work your way up. You know, that's what I found effective.
Really? It's effective?
Oh, it's always effective. 70% of the time, it works every time. Another thing that I feel like robots would be better at than people is, well, first off, did you know that you could get stuck inside a woman if you're having sex on the beach in the water? I did not know that.
Oh. How is that possible?
Well, apparently this couple in Italy was, you know, they were on a beach and it wasn't exactly overpopulated. So they were like, maybe we can do a little populating ourselves. Started fucking in the water and then homeboy couldn't get out of it. Literally.
Huh.
And so some lady saw them some eventually. Type of... Yeah, the suction from
that's
the water,
peculiar.
I guess, creates...
Was it suction or chemistry?
It was suction.
Oh, I can kind of see that, I suppose. I mean...
He was like, I'm stuck! What do I do? So they had to go to the hospital. Some lady finally brought him a towel so they could, you know, scurry over to the sand and then called an ambulance, got in it, and... All is well now, but now they know not to have sex on the beach.
Jeez.
And I bet you, with a robot, you just have an eject button.
Right?
Funny you should actually mention that. That's one of the plot points of the show. that issue gets brought up. That issue gets brought up, actually.
So there's one last problem you'd have if you had sex robots.
That's weird. Now, well, see, my first thought was, like, what position were they in the water? Because if they were doing it, like, a missionary position, then it might be a little easier for them to get out of the water because she could kind of, like, you know, koala onto him as he walks out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if they were doing it doggy, then that's the, then it's like they got a...
They're, like, stuck in horse costume position.
Well, how lucky for...
horse costume position.
How awkward. Lucky for them that it wasn't anal. That would have been weird.
Oh, jeez.
Just walking behind her the whole thing.
Would,
like,
that would be a lot of suction.
That's really stuck.
I wonder how they got him out. Like, do they just have to, like, somehow get something else in there and to relieve the...
Whatever injection they give pregnant women to dilate their cervix, they had to give her.
He was really? In her cervix?
I guess it opened it up so he could pull out.
Like in the induced labor or something. Something along those lines.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many 911 calls are dicks getting stuck in things related?
Too many.
Has to be like 25%, like that you don't hear about. Of calls have to be like, I got my dick stuck in this, you know, air compressor or the vacuum cleaner or something. Like, they just show up. It's like that American Pie scene when he gets the tape stuck to his hand and he's got his hand stuck to his dick.
The super glue. Yeah. I mean, myself to myself.
There's so many people who, you know, stick their junk into junk-shaped objects and then shove things up their butt. That, I mean, the hospital gave it so many ass-related injuries or lost objects that it takes up far too much time and resources of our medical community to deal with this stuff.
Yeah, these people go to school for years and years and years, and like, I shoved a car up my ass.
There's that Jackass bit from the first movie Ryan Dunn shoved that car up his ass, and they showed the X-ray of it. I would have framed that
X-ray though and hung it in my house.
I think that we learned that bored, horny men are the most dangerous creatures on earth, and they'll go to any amount to just get off in any way they can. Also, they'll do almost anything.
Anything with a hole, somebody's gonna try and fuck. Eventually.
Truth. Yep.
No matter what it is. Somebody's tried to fuck it, probably.
My thing needs to go in there.
My thing needs to go in there now so I can feel this way rather than, I'm done. Like, you're bored with masturbating with yourself. You have to explore their options. Yeah, I got this sock and bopper laying around. Let me blow it up and give this thing a whirl.
I understand you recently just overcame a fit of pink eye.
I don't know what the hell it was, dude. All I know is I was chilling, trying to sleep, and this pain on my eye, it was killing, all right? And I had no idea what it was. And then I'm a comic, so, of course, I don't have health insurance. So I was like, what the fuck do I do? So I'm looking up on Google home remedies, which is bad in itself because you look on Google, you're going to think you're going to go blind. And I found something. The best thing to take is breast milk, okay?
And it's going to be hard to get a hold of.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, some girls want to take the pill so you can't fucking get breast milk from them. No, but like... there was no breast milk available, so the next best thing is raw organic goat's milk. And, dude, I don't care. My eye was hurting. I'll try anything. I went to the grocery store at like 8 in the morning. They didn't have anything. It was like Safeway. They don't have organic shit. So then I found a hippy dippy one, and I went there. And all they had was huge bottles, okay? Like fucking liters, 2 liters. Can I swear on this, by the way?
Yes,
is it okay
can.
To swear?
Yes,
all right.
You can.
Fucking huge bottle, okay? So I had to buy this big glass bottle of raw goat's milk for $8. And all I needed was drops. Just drops. But dude, I got a little straw, I mixed it up in a glass, and I would drop drops in my eye for, you know, a few times a day, and after a couple days it worked. And it was gone. So there's a little home remedy for you guys.
Did it
take
sting?
That to Texas.
Was it painful?
No, it didn't sting at all. No, it felt cold. That's all. I used to wear contacts, and then I got LASIK eye surgery done. So I'll put eye drops in my eyes for days. I don't care. It's not a big deal.
I just imagine you just like dumping milk just on your face with like a fucking jug. Just
It is funny. Like I would dress because there's no applicator for drops for goat's milk. Okay, so you have to use a straw. So I'd use the straw, I'd dip it in, and then hold the end, and then hold it. But then it would just sprinkle all over. Like it would just shoot all over my face, and then you'd have like it looked like I said on the podcast. I looked like an extra on a porn shoot who just got hit in the back. Like, look out back there. Ah! Got me, dude. You got me. So yeah, man, I don't know what the hell it was, man. It sucks, dude. Like, as an artist, it's so hard. Like health wise, like I had a problem like a couple years ago. I lost my voice, dude. And I couldn't eat or drink for like 4 days. It was bad. I had no idea what it was. Yeah. And as a comic, that shit drives you crazy, dude.
Yeah, because you just can't work.
So, you can't work. You can't, You can't, you don't even feel like working. When you're sick as an artist, you don't even want to be creative.
Yeah.
It sucks.
And everybody's always expecting you to be all like hyped up and everything. And if you even try and do it, you're not the same. They're not going to feel the same way about you.
Right. It's like, It sucks, man. Being I try and eat healthy. I try and be healthy because it ain't easy for no artists out there. That's for sure. It's fucking annoying. Why don't you just go to the doctor? Why didn't someone was telling me that? Why don't you go to the doctor for your eye? Like you're a millionaire. Or just go to the doctor. No, I got goat's mouth. God damn it. Fuck you. I don't need no doctor.
Yeah, the doctors are overrated. I mean, like, we've got WebMD now, so you can just go diagnose yourself with cancer whenever you feel like it, right?
Yeah, be like, oh, I'm going to die anyway. What the fuck's the matter?
That's the worst website to ever go to. Like, you're like, oh, I think I have a splinter in my foot. Uh-oh, it's going to get infected. I'm going to have to amputate my foot.
Ben Bailey is the first guy I ever knew before he got famous, and then, you know, he was the first one. He used to be, you know, just was a stand-up, and you'd see him around the clubs every night and stuff. And then he got Cash Cab, and I remember when it was all over, we were outside the cab, and tourists were stopping and getting an autograph from him, and that was season two, and that was the coolest part of the day for me. But no, the show isn't fixed, and how we got on the show was through an audition, and we thought we were going to get the three people in there. The two people with me are my Jessica, who's now my wife, was my girlfriend then, and my buddy Jeremy, who was another comic.
Okay.
And what we were told was we were going to be shooting a pilot as the hosts of a show for the Travel Channel, and we're going to go to I think it was a restaurant or a museum or something in Manhattan, and we were to meet at a certain corner with the producer, and then we go from there. So we meet with the producer, and then she hails us a cab. And what was weird was the one cab came, and she just looked at it, and she says, "Oh, that doesn't look good. Like, that one looks dirty or something."
This one's not the right one.
You know, I'm going to get you a better cab. And of course, us were like, we want to appease the producer of this new show, and we want, so no, that one was fine, whatever. She sends it away, and then
I'll ride with an Arab.
Yeah, around the corner comes the cash cab, and we jump in there, and everything you see from that second on, it's absolutely legit. We had no idea we were getting into the cash cab, and for the first couple of minutes, we actually thought, how lucky can we get? We're going to film a pilot for a TV show, and on the way, we happened to land in the cash cab. It took us a couple minutes to put it together. Oh, okay.
You're like, so I need to go buy lottery tickets right now.
Yeah, so I mean, we did. We thought we were going to be going to one TV show in the cash cab, and it took us a little while, but once we figured it out. So that's basically like the first season, I guess, the producers told us, is they would just pick up people on the street completely at random, and they were finding a lot of people who didn't want to do it, a lot of wasted time. So they would hold these phony auditions just to get people who would be at least good on camera and, you know, and reactive a little bit. So that's how we did it, or that's how they screened us. And, you know, it was a great, cool, fun experience to do that show. And they run the hell out of that. I think, I can't remember how long ago we did that. It was like season two, but I get a text or an email at least once a month that somebody's seen it. It's one of those evergreen shows. They will run that forever. They will run that forever.
Did you win? Did you win the
obviously someone didn't watch it.
Yeah. Did we win? No, we did not.
We almost won it.
Here's the thing. Because there was three of us, we just decided if we had, I believe we decided the number was $900. If we didn't walk out of there, if we could walk out of that cab with $300 in our pocket each, we were going to stop. And if we were short of that, we were just going to let it roll on the video challenge at the end. And it was for the cash cab, we have had a relatively, I will say in our defense, a relatively short ride. It was only a few blocks.
Remember we said we were going to call an audible?
Yes.
What?
Quick audible. Cole is going to be going on a date later on. And he was talking about trying to find a Mexican restaurant to take her to. Now, nope. He's going to go to more of a chain restaurant.
Nope.
But I told him the only thing you got to do to impress a girl if you're taking her to a Mexican restaurant is make sure you just don't go to a Lupe Tortilla or, like, one of the big ones that people know about. You got to go find, like, a random one you see on the side of the road somewhere that does not have anyone like it. But just be like, all right, let's go to this. I found this hole in the wall. It's a great one. Because all Mexican food is essentially beans, meat, and cheese.
Beans are gross, by the way. I don't eat beans.
See, of course. That's one more thing he ate.
You know what girls also find impressive is speaking broken English to, or broken Spanish to the waiter.
I have a minor in Spanish.
Oh,
look at the big brains on Cole.
Mr. Lab Coat over there.
Look at the big brains on Brad. That's a quote.
So anyways, if you take your chick to just a random Mexican restaurant that's not a big chain. They're like, yeah, I found this. They're like, oh, man, he eats out a lot. He's cultured. Yeah, he knows it. And it's like, try the chimichangas.
Here are the chimichangas and the Dos Equis.
Suggest some random generic Mexican dish. You're like, they make the greatest flautas.
Do you have chicken flautas here? Of course you do. Yeah, we'll take two of those.
What about the enchiladas verde? Yeah, I hear those are to die for here. Every Mexican restaurant has that.
Are you guys making a parody out of my ordering skills? Is that what's going on?
No, I'm just saying that you were trying to like, we're going to Papacitos.
Why not? Papacitos, man. It's okay. It's kind of an intense place. But
how's it intense?
You walk in and it's like, just
these people
like
are
loud,
so intense.
And it's just like intense. And, like,
he said intense. Like it's a
they
tense
run to your
city.
Table?
No.
The fuck do you want?
No,
what?
When you walk in, it's intense. Whenever you sit down, it ends up being okay.
What he means is like each table has its own tent around it.
That would be fine.
And so it's like
more privacy.
It's more so just like of a big field with a bunch of tents out, which is why it's intense. Well,
whatever. It's a good restaurant. I mean, it's okay. It's very generic, but
I've never eaten at a Papa's.
Oh, so you're just gonna go to a generic place to eat for first date? You want to set an impression?
I mean, it's just like
so you just want to have a very generic date.
She's gonna be like when she tells her friend, she goes back in her room. It's like, so how'd it go? And she's like, oh, it's all right.
It was average.
I am very ungeneric.
Oh, yeah? Then tell us what you're going to do to spice this date up.
I'm not going to discuss
it. Why that. Not?
Besides ordering the salsa.
Pass the gravy. Oh, just pass the gravy. Pass the gravy.
Just pass it.
Pass the gravy, oh, just pass the gravy, pass the gravy.
What is the difference between, like, I know what the difference between, obviously, like, regular porn and hentai porn is, but what is the difference between just, like, an anime cartoon and a regular cartoon, like Speed Racer, like you were talking about earlier?
It just depends. I mean, like, I'll tell you, there's a reason you see so much animation pornography from Japan. There's a reason.
Is it because it's cheap?
No. That's what you think. The reason you see so much animated pornography in Japan is because of General MacArthur after World War II.
What?
Yes. I love where this is going.
You've got to finish this now.
General MacArthur, when he returned after World War II, when they conquered Japan, right, after World War II, he was integral in writing the Constitution for Japan once they kicked out the emperor, the imperial family, and everything, and tried to develop a democracy. He was instrumental in writing the Constitution, in which he said he hated all, he himself despised pornography and hated images of pornography. And so he had it put into the Constitution of Japan that there would be no live pornography in this country. This country is not going to have pornography. And that was like that way for several decades, up until the 70s and 80s. You could not have pornography. It was unconstitutional. It was against the law. However, they found a loophole. If it's animated, it's fine. You can do that shit all day. You can't just have real people fucking. And so out of that became this huge industry of animated pornography with people fucking octopuses and fucking little girls and all this shit.
Shooting people with shotguns.
Yeah, exactly. And so this whole hentai thing was developed because it's against the law to show actual pornography in Japan.
And we're just going to go
General MacArthur is the reason I shot a scene with a girl with a shotgun in her pussy.
He's the reason you're employed now.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that is your history lesson. I hate getting you to use all your stories, but there's one story that I really want people that listen to this to hear, and there's nothing that I hate more than an obnoxious, arrogant kicker. And you happen to have a fantastic story about just that thing.
Yeah.
Can you please tell me the Vanderjack story?
Yeah, of course. So I'm doing – me and my buddy Jeff Dye, who's a very funny comedian and who I open for on the road a lot, very – just a good – one of my best friends. He's on Girl Code. Just
been
a
on
really
the 31?
Good dude. And, yeah, on the 31. He's just a career dude. I'm the best-looking dude I've ever seen. I've never you know, dude that gets girls like this. So, and I'm not just kissing his ass. It'll make sense in a minute. But so we're in Monco Island, Florida, and we're doing shows in this seafood restaurant. And the seafood restaurant's cool. I don't know why they make it a comedy club or whatever, but these shows are kind of rough. So we're like, fuck it. You know, let's go out and get drunk. And the club put us in this penthouse, which is incredible. Like a 4-bedroom penthouse on the top of this top floor. Which is great because we usually stay in just shitty ass hotels, you know. So we go out and we end up at this bar called Dandy's, and we go in and I'm like, man, this is a cool bar. It's got all football paraphernalia all over the walls. Uh-huh. We start talking to people and they're like, yeah, this is Mike Vanderjack's bar. I'm like, you mean Mike Vanderjack, the kicker for the Colts? They're like, yeah. And I was like, well, where is he at? And they're like, well, he doesn't really come around here because he was a coach. He would coach, like, little league kids there, and one kid kept heckling him, calling him wide right, and he, like, choked the kid, so he got in big trouble, and then the bartender's like, yeah, and his wife, like, caught him fucking when the waitress was in the office, so he doesn't really come around here.
So he's like,
and
me
and Jeff
thought
that was, so me and Jeff were like, oh, it's kind of funny, you know, and I was like, you know, that kid was heckling about, when I lived in Vegas, one of the biggest, I had the Colts to win the AFC and win the Super Bowl that year. And he fucking shanked that kick against the Steelers. So I've always kind of hated him anyway. But as a diehard Bronco fan, there's a famous thing when he got all drunk and was talking shit about Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And Peyton Manning was at the Pro Bowl, and he was like, ah, that's just our dumbass kicker getting all liquored up, running his mouth, you know. Me and Jeff are taking fireball shots, and we got a bunch of girls with us. And like always, the douche said to him, I'm like, man, we gotta get a story, you know. So I go, Jeff, we should steal something out of this bar to say that we stole it from Vanderjack's. And my boy Jeff's a good dude. Like, he's never really gotten in any trouble or anything. But he just wants a mugshot, you know? So he's like, yeah, I'm down, you know? I love him, and it's good he's never gotten in trouble, but he's itching to, like, get in a little trouble, I think. So he's like, all right. And he starts walking around the bar. He's like, everything's, like, you know, like, screwed to the wall.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, well, fuck it. You know, we tried. It would have been a cool story. You know, fuck Vanderjack or whatever. So the night ends, and we're heading towards the doors, and these girls are going to take us back to the penthouse. And we're like, I go to the bathroom, and right by the front doors, there's two huge framed autograph jerseys from the Pro Bowl. Mike Vanderjack is on one wall, and Edgerrin James is on the other. And these are big-ass fucking frames. Like, you know, the ones that show the jersey? Yeah. Like the big box ones. So I tapped the one on the bottom, and it like moves up and down. I'm like, holy shit, this thing's just hanging on a string. So I come back in the bathroom, and it's like closing time. We're closing up, and I tell Jeff, yo, we can get this fucking Vanderjack. We can get these Pro Bowl jerseys. We'll get the Vanderjack jersey, and we'll take it to Peyton Manning as like fucking payback, you know? And I was like, that's what make Peyton Manning like me or whatever. And Jeff's like, I'm down. So we tell these girls, go get the car. We got to go to the bathroom, whatever. We'll meet you out front. Just be ready, you know, because we don't really want, you don't really trust girls in this yeah. situation. Girls we don't even know. So we go in the bathroom. I'm like, all right, Jay, when you come out, you know, you grab, I'll grab Edgerrin James. You grab Vanderjack. We're out the front doors. Let's roll. He goes, all right. Come out of the bathroom. We take one look around. We don't see anything. Grab these big motherfuckers off the wall, out the front door, right? Girl's car's right there. They're like, oh my God, we fucking stick them in. They barely fit in the back seat of this girl's car. Literally, we fuck up her week a little bit. We pile in. We're out. We drive to the back to the penthouse. We're like, holy shit, we got these jerseys. So we get to, we take them up to the penthouse. We bust them out of the frames. We put them on. We start wearing them and shit, you know? Like, we're Pro Bowlers. We're wearing these big-ass jerseys. We're letting the girls wear them. You know, these girls are wearing these two Pro Bowl jerseys. They're butt naked. Hot-ass girls. Fucking got, like, wrinkles and shit all over them. Whatever girls wear.
Glitter.
Was sparkle. Yeah, glitter. And we're still gear on them. And so we're just partying. Like, we really made the Pro Bowl, right?
Yeah.
We have an amazing night. We wake up the next morning. No big deal. We go to the club the next night. No one really knows. We tell the owner of the club. We thought he would think it's funny. We're like, yo, we Jack Vanderjack's Pro Bowl jersey. We're showing him the pictures and shit. He's kind of laughing or whatever. So we do the shows again. We meet these five girls from Chicago. Just the coolest chick. Like, you guys want to come out of a Pro Bowl party? They're like, what are you talking about? Like, come over.
It's not the Pro Bowl.
Chicks come over with us. Yeah. Yeah, they're like, what? So they were actually football fans. And then so they appreciated it. And they got to their house and, they're like, oh, shit. So we're everyone wearing Pro Bowl jerseys. They're, you know, once again, more fucking glitter on them, doing fireball shots. They're just party shirts, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're loving everything. So then the next morning, early morning, we wake up, and we get a call from the club owner. He's like, yo, you guys got to take those jerseys back, man. You can't be doing this shit. And we're like, what, man? And he's like, you got to take them back, you know. I got a reputation in this town, and I'm like, and Jeff's like, fuck, man, I don't want to take him back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, we have to take him back. We got the story. We have the pictures, whatever. So we throw him back in the frames, and we take him. It's like 10 in the morning. We go to Vandy's, and we drop him off on the balcony, in the front balcony, like over the wall. We just set him there, you know? So they just came back, no harm, no foul. We call the club owner. We're like, I don't know what you're talking about. We don't have them. They're at the, you know? And he's like, okay, cool. So then it goes on. It was Saturday night, and Jeff's still kind of pouting. He's like, man, this sucks. I wanted those jerseys. And Jeff's telling everyone at the club or everyone we meet, we're telling the story that night, and we're like, yo. And Jeff's like, if any guys steal Vanderjack's jersey and send it to me in L.A., I'll give you $3,000 cash. No questions asked. I'll just send you the money. Just send it to me. So there's like a bounty on it. So we party that night, everything, nothing happened. It's our last night, Sunday, and we do the show, and it's just like a rough Sunday night show with all just rich old white people in Marco Island, so the crowd's not very good, and so we're like, fuck it, we got to go out. It's our last night, and we're going around to the bars, and we're like, there's no girls at our show, so we're like, we got to go to a bar, and we go to like three bars, everything's dead, and we're like, where's everybody at? They're like, they're at Vandy's.
Oh, shit.
And we're like, and they're like, you guys can't. And they're like, you guys can't go to Vandy's, right? We're like, I don't know. They're like, we can. We're like, fuck it, we're going to Vandy's. Me and Jeff like, we're drunk. We're like, we don't care. We want to meet girls. So we go to Vanderjack's. It's Vanderjack's birthday. And they had, that's why everyone's there, because they had like a party. But Vanderjack's already gone. So we get there, and there's still a lot of people there. And no one really, we're kind of on edge. So I was waiting for everyone to say something to us in like the first hour. But no one really says anything. So we just keep drinking. Everything's good. After about an hour, me and Jeff are pretty drunk. And I just look at Jeff and I was like, yo, you know what? Be gangster. Just fucking steal Vanderjack's jersey, bring it back, and then steal it again on his birthday. Jeff's like, yep. And I was like, all right, let's do this. So we start kind of like trying to peek in the back offices, or, you know, we're trying to figure out where the jerseys are at, because they're not hung up or anything, because we fucked up the frames. So I open up this conference room, and I see him sitting there on the frames on the floor, and I'm like, fuck it. And I go in and I reach in the back of it. I pull the bandage. I choose how to put it on my shirt. I go out this back side door. I go across the street. I call Jeff. I go, Jeff, let's get out of here. He's like, why? What are you doing? I was like, let's go, man. I got some girls on the cross street, 7-Eleven. Go back to the penthouse, whatever. And he comes out and he runs across the street. He's like, where the fuck are these girls at? And I had the shirt up my back. I pulled it out and I just handed it to him. I was like, got your present. And it's fucking Banner Jack's jersey. He's like, yes. So we got it. We go back. We didn't take the Edrin one. We just took the Banner Jack. So we go back to the penthouse and, you know, we party a little more. We pass out. And then, so Jeff has to fly to New York City to film his TV show. At the time, he was doing Money with Strangers on MTV. So he wakes up at like 5:30 in the morning. The car comes and picks him up, takes him to the airport. Now, I'm supposed to meet him in Raleigh, North Carolina, like 3 days later to do more shows. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm just going to crash in this penthouse and lay low, and then I'll, you know, catch a flight up to Raleigh on like Wednesday. Well, at about noon, I get a phone call from this dude, and he's like, yo, you guys got to get out of town, man. They know you stole that jersey. The cops are looking for you. And I'm like, for real? He's like, yeah, they're looking for you. I'm like, oh, shit, man. He's like, where's the jersey? Just take it back. I'm like, I can't. Jeff has it in New York City. He's like, what? I'm like, yeah, he's gone. He's like, you got to get out of here. So once I had a friend that lived in Naples, and I called her up. I go, hey, I'm in trouble, man. The cops are looking for me on Marco Island. Can you, you know, can you get me out of here? And she's like, yeah, I got a friend that's actually in Marco Island for the day. So she called this dude up, and I packed up all my shit, and I'm downstairs hiding in the bushes outside this hotel, and this dude pulls up with his two friends, like, on vacation. I just throw my bag in the back and jump in, and I have to explain it to these guys. I'm like, hey, man, I'm sorry. I'm a douchey dude. I stole this jersey. The police are looking for me. I know you don't know me, but can you just give me to Naples? And they're like, they're young dudes, and they thought it was pretty cool, actually, so they drive us to Naples. So now we're in Naples, and Jeff's calling me. So the police are calling. I'm like, hey, I think you might have something to do with this jersey. Can you call us back? And I told Jeff, I'm like, man, fuck him. Like, what are they going to do? They're not going to come to extradite us from, you know, Hollywood and bring us back. Just fuck it. We can never go to Marco Island again. But those shows sucked anyway, so we were never going back anyway. So fuck it. And besides, even if we get famous enough where they want us back, they're not. If we can make them money, they'll always bring us back. So we just leave it alone. And then Vanderjack's sister starts calling, and we ignore it. And then fucking Vanderjack starts calling us. We have these voicemails from Mike. He's like, hey, man, hey, Vandy, I know what you guys did.
He called himself Vandy on the voicemail?
Yeah, and he called himself Vandy. He's like, you guys were looking around. You guys looked around pretty good, but your dumbasses didn't look at the camera right above you. And so we got it all on tape. We know it was you guys. And we're like, oh, shit. So he's like, I don't want you to, you guys can't talk about this anywhere or anything. Because we were like, fuck it, man, this is like good press. We're going to Deadspin and shit, and I was going to try to get Jay Moore to talk about it on his, you know, radio show. Mm-hmm. I thought everyone thought it would be funny, and I wanted, you know, as a Bronco fan, I wanted Peyton Manning to know that I did this for him.
Yeah.
So then we get in this battle with Vanderjack, and we're like, so then the lawyers start calling. So then these lawyers are like, you got to sign a contract saying that you'll give the jerseys back, and you'll pay $1,000 for each frame that you busted. And then you have to sign an agreement that you will never talk about it. And we're like, fuck that, man. We're comedians. We don't.
Right.
We talk about, that's the one thing about our job. We talk about
it's
anything.
Material.
You can't censor us. Yeah. So we fight back and forth, and we're like, well, and Jeff's like, fuck you. I'm not giving you jersey back. You can eat a dick. I'll burn that stuff and send it to you. Send a video of it. And he's like, then all the lawyers got involved, and then the lawyers, then our lawyers called us, and we're like, you guys got to give that jersey back because it's a felony. Because it's like got like a $15,000 value, they said, because it's one of a kind game worn Pro Bowl jersey. You can't. I know, but they said because you can't get another one, you can't make another one since it was actually worn in the game. So we ended up just sending it back to him and calling it. But we didn't sign any contracts or anything. So we called it cool, and then he moved to Scottsdale, and then, so me and Jeff were doing shows in Scottsdale earlier this year, and then we sent him a bunch of messages like, hey, Vandy, can we buy you some beers and call it even and apologize for what we did, but he'll never write us back. So
what an ass.
I guess fuck Vanderjack. He got Vanderjack.
Peyton Manning has been mad at, like, one other guy. Like, this preseason he got pissed at DJ Swearinger, but, like, so that's two people his whole career he's been pissed at. So you probably have to do a lot to make him mad.
Yeah, man. He dyed his lips and shit. He's just a douche. So I was like, fuck Vanderjack. My friend saw him at, he came to like a Phoenix Phoenix Open to sign autographs, and my friends were heckling him. Standard Jack, Toblin, Don, say hi. Thanks for the jersey. And he got all pissed and got up and walked off and quit signing autographs. So I don't know. Fuck him. You know, the thing awesome. Is that no, Deadspin wrote an article about it, and everyone trashes on Deadspin. We're like, the guy's a fucking douche, man. Didn't you read the part, the other Deadspin article when he choked a 12-year-old kid?
Yeah.
Or when he was fucking some waitress, or, you know, in his restaurant, his wife caught him. It's like, we didn't do it to Mother Teresa or something. We did it to, like, the douchiest picker in the world that cost me $25,000 way back then. Pass it, man. The gravy.
Pass it around. The gravy. Curtis, you're the smart guy. I want to hear your...
What is your take on this Russian invasion?
Okay.
So here's what Russia's doing. They're invading a region called Crimea?
Crimea River.
And the only reason that they're going after the Crimea River state is that holy fuck, that was so bad. I think that outweighs,
title.
I think that outweighs the slave thing.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
God damn it, you know. So anyway, there's this port in Crimea that it goes to the Black Sea. It's a peninsula, and it's the only warm water port. And Russia leases it from the Ukraine. But now Russia's seeing that Ukraine's all weak and everything. So they're like, oh, instead of leasing it, why don't we just rent to own it?
Russia, we take over.
Take it. It's like renting to own a house. You eventually take it over.
But they're doing it with guns.
With bullets, blood, sweat, and tears.
I thought like territorial war was over. Is Putin just like been playing Risk lately?
Here's another thing is that like 80% of the people there are Russian. It used to be part of Russia. And then then whenever they had Khrushchev.
I don't know.
And he gave it away to the Ukraine. He signed it away to the Ukraine. So like 80% of the people there are Russian heritage.
Okay.
So it was originally Russia's and the guy gave it away and now Putin's like, "What the fuck? Like why did he get like that's the only Black Sea warm water port that we have, and you gave it away, you dumbass." So he's getting it back forcefully.
Yeah, I kind of respect.
It makes sense. It makes sense if you're Russian.
Right.
If you're Ukrainian, well.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I kind of respect Putin, though, because, I mean, Obama is basically the same guy. He wants to be a dictator. He's trying to be a dictator as much as he can, but he doesn't have the balls to actually do it. Putin's like, I'll fucking invade it. I don't care.
That is the most right-wing thing I've ever heard you say in my life.
Dude, what?
It sounds very right-wing, doesn't it?
No, yeah, it does. Like, the most right-wing thing I've ever seen. Right-wing is the white ring, right?
Our good buddy Sully, who's going to be joining us for his second installment of Tales from the Tender Vault. What's going on, buddy?
How's it going, man? Thanks for having me back.
Well, now that first story was pretty awesome, so we decided we'd delve deeper into that.
This is almost going to turn into a bad date segment for today.
But at least it's entertaining to everybody else besides you. As long as you can look back
it's
and laugh.
Entertaining. Right, exactly. I can definitely do it at this point.
So what do you got for us today?
Okay, so I just want to start off by saying, like, I am in no way a player, and I have probably, like, the worst game of any of your friends. Okay, I'm in no way some suave, smooth-talking guy that just picks up chicks. I've been on like, a handful of dates from Tinder. I've had some good ones. I'm actually, like, talking to a girl right now that we met on Tinder and went out, and that one went pretty good and stuff. But I've had a couple tragic experiences as well.
Is this one of them?
This is another one of them. I consider the Mensa story to be a tragedy as well. So this girl, her name is Rosie from Lafayette, and I was headed back to Houston from Baton Rouge one weekend, and I'd been talking to this girl Rosie for like a couple days, and I told her I'd be passing through Lafayette, and she insisted that I stop by. So it's a Friday night. I leave Baton Rouge 7:00, and I text her before I leave. I said, "What's going on?" And she texted me the whole time I'm driving, being real flirty and all that. So I get to Baton Rouge or get to Lafayette, and I'd been there before, and I knew of a couple good restaurants. So I suggested we meet up at this little place called the Blue Dog, and it's that restaurant. Made by that guy who like paints the paintings of the Blue Dog,
the Cajun guy,
the South American guy. Yeah. So it's like him or his son that owns this restaurant or something. It's not like super fancy, but it's kind of nice. So
okay.
I tell her to meet me there. You know, I didn't want any like creepiness, like me going to her house or anything like that. I don't ever say anything like about like Tinder being creepy, but I just imply that both parties are aware that there's a creepy element to Tinder.
Somebody could be trying to rape you.
Exactly, or Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
So I meet her at this restaurant, and she gets out the car. She's walking up. She's drinking on a daiquiri. Okay, which you're like, my first thought is like, holy shit, we're in Louisiana. and the first thing she says to me is, you seem a little fatter than your pictures, or something like that.
Shit.
And so it just like makes me like really nervous. And it like, all my friends know, like when I get nervous, I just start sweating, like terribly. Really uncomfortable, and it's really ugly. But, so she tells me, she's like, oh, you seem a little fatter than on your pictures. And I was like, I don't even know what to say to that. But she's drinking on this daiquiri, and I told her before we walked in, I was like, you might not want to like bring that in. And she just like takes a couple big sips, and I like chugged a little bit of the rest of it or whatever. This girl's drunk, is what I realized at this point. Is that this girl is slurring her words, being really slutty, and being really forward.
What do you mean by being really slutty? Just being forward? Is that what you meant?
Yeah, just completely like making like little comments. I don't know, just like, oh yeah, just yeah, that's why we met up. You know, like I'd make like a little flirty, something flirty, and she'd be like, like you never know your luck or something. You know, just little like things like that I think a sober Rosie might not have said. So we get in, we sit down at the table. She like orders a whiskey sour and chugs it in like three sips, and then it's on to our next one. We like haven't even got our entrees yet, and this girl's already put back two drinks. And I'm
crazy.
Just chilling on like I'm chilling on like a Budweiser. Like I'm driving, so I'm like not even drinking, and I'm wondering like how awkward this is gonna be while I'm sober. Well, we order our little appetizer, our little crawfish quesadillas come. I eat most of them. And before our waitress comes back to take our order, Rosie just puts her head down on the table and, like, falls asleep. Like, just passes out.
Did she say anything before?
No, she's just like, we're talking, I'm, like, eating, and, like, whatever. Like, we kind of don't say anything, and she just kind of, like, slowly, like, leans forward.
The
and
drunk days.
Leans a little bit more forward, and then... Her eyelids like just are real heavy and just close up, and then she just puts her head down, completely unresponsive from here on forward.
How long was that going on?
All right, it was probably like a minute before the waitress walks up and asks if like everything's okay. But during that minute, I'm like tapping this girl's shoulder. I like pulled one of her hairs out of her forehead, like just to see if like you know I could like shock her into I don't know.
I can just imagine the panic in your head going like, all right, did anybody see that? Do they think I did this? Do they think I hit her? Do they think I drugged her? What's going on? And then just slowly being like, yeah, I promise I didn't have anything to do with this.
At this point, I'm sweating through my dress shirt. I'm like so nervous. My head looks just like I dunked it out of a shower. And my pits are like 18-inch pancakes up to my shoulders of sweat. I was looking rough, and I was definitely looking like I was doing something wrong, like nefarious, like a sweaty guy at this table with a girl passed out. It just wasn't looking good for me.
You see that on Tinder, on a hookup app?
This should be a rating system for you should be able to go back and like grade her, like, oh yeah, this girl showed up to a date, blackout,
like
passed out. Exactly. You can give them stars.
Yeah.
That might be a good way for a good program from escort service, but I don't know about dating.
So what did you do? Did you just peace out?
No, well, yes, I did. But I grabbed her phone, and I called a couple people. The first person didn't answer, and the second one, I was like, hey, I know this is really weird, but your friend, I'm on a date with your friend, and she's really drunk, and she fell asleep, and, like, I don't really know her or anything. And the girl was just like, oh, yeah, like,
like, oh, yeah, like, that like,
oh, yeah, like, no big deal. And I'm like, okay, well, you might want to come get her. I was like, we're at the Blue Dog downtown. And her friend's like, okay, I'll be right there. I was like, just take care of her. Make sure nothing happens to her. I'm like, okay, not a problem. I got you. I'll watch out for her. As soon as I hang up the phone, paid the bill, and deuced.
Did you go through recent calls or whatever, or were you just, like, randomly guessing in her phone book?
I called literally the two most recent people in her phone book.
That's smart.
And, I got the second one. So I let her know. I feel like I did my part. Like, if you're going to show up on a date and pass out, you know, I don't have any obligation here, right?
Yeah, no, not at all. And the waitress obviously kind of realized, I guess, after a while, like, this guy doesn't mean any harm. He's just as weirded out by this as we are.
I hope that
there, she was like,
weren't thinking
something
weird.
She was just
weird.
just go. You can go. Just, we got it. Don't worry about it. This happens all the time.
But I felt bad because, like, I wasn't about to just, like, deuce. You know what I mean? On the waitress and, like, dine and dash. Well, like a $30 tab. So I had to pay. But I
actually, she said she was gonna. She said she was gonna cover this. So just, she'll get it when she wakes up. All right.
Hey, drunk girl's got it at table 13.
Right. This is what she gets. This is what happens when you fall asleep on a date.
It was really one of the most uncomfortable moments like I've ever had on a date. No, probably the most uncomfortable.
I always tell people this story. Like, I was always a kid. I was always a kid at a hair trigger temper. Like, imagine that being redheaded. But, like, and I was not a big kid. Like, I'm not a small dude now. But when I was in, like, fifth grade and sixth grade, I was, like, maybe, you know, 80 pounds. I was a skinny little twerp. And I would, like, if I talk shit to people, they would just wait for me outside after school and beat my ass. And then I had to learn how to fight. And then I learned it's just easier to shut the fuck up sometimes. And so it's like, you know, I just don't, I mean, like, that's my mentality. I think we come up with a generation of people who never got their ass kicked and never got a kick for no reason, to the point where they're like, well, the last thing I'm going to do is give somebody a reason. And yeah. I do think that is a healthy amount of fear. You know, like, think about like when you watch Westerns and Old West movies, the way people acted around police, because police would just shoot you if you were screwing up in the Old West. And now, like, police are getting YouTube video if they don't use the right procedure in a traffic ticket.
Mics on them at all time.
Cameras on them.
Like, you know, now you'll see YouTube videos of people in police officers' faces like, fuck you, what you gonna do? What you gonna do, you piece of shit? You're just like, you wouldn't have done that 100 years ago because you just got shot and beat. In that order, they'd actually shoot you first and then beat your dead body to send you.
Let's say you were raping a young woman when they came across you.
Right, exactly. It's just like, so I don't know. I really do think that's a big thing. Like, people just aren't afraid. You're talking about the blog post where I talked about my neighbor who moved my lawn. Yeah.
Yes, tell everybody that's listening, for those that have not read it.
Yeah, so, like, we live in an apartment complex that's, like, 16 units. So there's not a lot of people that live here. And there's only, like, three of us that don't have in-unit washer and dryers. And so we use the one that's on the premises. So I always wait till late at night to do my laundry so I don't run into anybody else. And I can do, like, 10 loads or whatever I have at once. So one of the machines broke down and my stuff wasn't drying. So it took, like, three cycles to dry. So one of those cycles – I left to get, like, Taco Bell. I came back and my wet shit was taken out of the machine and put on in a basket on the floor. And then this dude had, like, washed and then put his shit in the dryer. And then really the real fuck you about it was there are two dryers. So rather than just after he washed his shit, putting it in the other dryer, he specifically pulled my wet shit out of the top dryer, put it in the basket, and dried his stuff in on my cycle.
That's my favorite one.
So, yeah. And so I was like, I texted my girlfriend who's upstairs, and I go, so this is what happened. I'm just going to wait. Like, I can see his dry cycle's done in 5 minutes. I'm going to wait. I don't know who it is. I don't know who the person is. So dude walks down, and then immediately, like a minute he comes down the stairs into the garage, you can see the look of terror on his face, like, fuck. And I just go, is that your shit in there? And he was like, oh, what, the laundry? I was like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, that's mine. And I go, did you move my shit to put your shit in there? And he goes, yeah. I go, what the fuck makes you think that's okay? And he's just like, well, you were taking too long. I go, I don't give a shit if I took all fucking night. It's first come, first served, dude. That's how it works. Sorry if your precious laundry couldn't wait until tomorrow. Yeah. But the fact that you would have the balls to take somebody's wet shit out and throw it on the floor and just be like, fuck y'all. Like,
taking too long, though, like, you mean the dryer cycle wasn't finished yet?
Obviously. Well, yeah, it's just, he's like, well, you just, like, he was like, you're hogging the laundry. And I'm just like, okay, man, like, just move along. I couldn't believe it. And then at one point, like, the whole thing, people can read my blog post on Tumblr, but it's like the whole thing escalated to the point. And I just got to the point where I was like, dude, stop making excuses. Like, if you keep trying to explain to me that this is okay, we're going to have a fucking problem. And he just was like, really? Like, you're really going to, like, threaten me? And I go, what if I just fucking knocked your face off? Like, what if that's how I opened? It's like, has that never happened to you in your life? It's like Fight Club. It's like sort of like there's a whole generation of people that have never been in a fight, never gotten their ass kicked over something ridiculous, and they just have this ballsy lack of repercussions attitude about the world.
Everybody thinks they're an exception to every rule.
Yeah, I mean, in my act I joke that's how you know there's not enough black people in a city, so.
Did you get how excited were you waiting for him to come back? Were you like sitting there pumping yourself up?
No, I wasn't. I was, because I didn't know who it was. It could have been like a 6'8" dude who used to play for the fucking Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know who it is.
If it had been a bigger guy, do you think you probably would have just like, I'm just gonna wait till he's done?
Hell no. My hope would be that the bigger guy would beat the living shit out of me, and then I could also sue him.
I sued you, and I proved a point.
Yeah, I put the point. Like, you kicked my ass for you being wrong, and now you get to go to prison.
That's another thing, though. People do, like, if you were to beat people's ass, they can sue you, and then it just comes back to bite you in the ass anyway.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. That's the thing my girlfriend later on is just like, you know, that's the thing. Like, we have laws that protect pussies. Like,
yeah.
you can be a pussy and get away with it now because, like, you know, everyone goes to jail. I remember when I was a kid, like, if police showed up, like, I remember domestic situations. My mom lived in this really shitty apartment in Dover, Delaware when I was a kid. And there were all kinds of, like, horrible domestic situations in this apartment every night. And I remember cops showing up and, like, the dude and the girlfriend outside. And she'd be like, oh, he hit me. And he was like, well, she was talking shit. And the cop would be like, maybe you shouldn't talk shit, okay? Like,
hey, listen, bitch.
Maybe you shouldn't talk shit.
Like, I mean, like, the police used to have, like, common sense. They would be like, don't talk shit. He's huge. I'm a police officer. I wouldn't talk shit to him. Like, maybe you guys should how to work things out before you rile him up and he gets to whipping your ass. And that was the police would do that. They'd be like, you should, you know. And if it was dudes, they would have no sympathy. They'd be like, look, you guys can beat the shit out of each other all day. We don't care. Like,
Did you steal his girl? Should you have had your ass beat?
Did you? Yeah. Well, if you fucked his wife, dude, he probably should kick your ass. I don't know if the police back then were just shittier or lazier, but they were just like, yeah, man, we're not taking one of you to jail because one of you got, like, poetic justice served for doing some fucked up shit.
Well, another thing that happens, and it's, I guess, kind of related, is how, like, anytime in a domestic issue now, like, if the woman says she was touched, regardless of if she was touched,
immediately,
or
guys,
an attempted assault or whatever, regardless of if he was even doing anything to her, that guy's hauled off to jail immediately, no questions asked.
And the funny thing is cops still treat women the same way I just described. Like, if a woman stabs a dude, they're just like, dude, man, like, don't be in the way of the knife. Like, we can't help you. You're a man. She's a woman. She can beat your ass for 10 hours straight, and
if you restrain her, you're gone.
Yeah, it's just – and that double standard is getting ridiculous, too. I think that was highlighted by the Yes All Women hashtag campaign where – you know, women, like, you see ones that are serious that were like, you know, I had a boss like raped me when I was a teenager at the Dairy Queen job, and you're like, wow, that's horrible. And then like right below that tweet, there's a girl who's like, one time I wore a hot crop tank top, and everyone on my street looked at me, and I never wore that shirt again. Just like, yep, those are the same.
He just like came in, just showed up unannounced, and it was just me and him in the green room, right? And I'm like, I'm not gonna say anything. This is Dave Chappelle. I look like an idiot. I'm just gonna shut my mouth, right? And Rich Voss was headlining, and he was on stage, and I had like this hoodie jacket, and I was switching it, and I was putting on like this other jacket I had, this military. And he goes, what is that, Rich's jacket? I'm like, no, this is mine. He's like, and that one too? I'm like, yeah. He's like, would you go school shopping this weekend? And then, but he was asking me about comedy. He's like, how's stand up? And I'm like, it's all right. I'm like, you know, I'm struggling. I don't have a day job, but like, I'm just doing sets, but man, I'm broken and struggling. But you know, I'm doing it. He's like, man, he's like, you're living off of comedy. He's like, that's the dream. He's like, you're living the dream right now. And there's just like, You take that away, you're like, wow, man, that's Dave Chappelle telling me that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the bottom line is you want to have fun. And, like, seeing him on stage, that guy has so much fun. And I think what happened, you know, the TV show, things change once you get to certain levels, you know? Yeah. So I think a lot of times you just got to appreciate what you have, you know? Because it's so easy for us to be like, oh, I don't have the show, I don't have that, I don't have this, you know? But hey, yeah. I'm talking to two fucking guys from Texas, it's pretty cool right now, live the fucking dream, you know what I mean? Pass it, man, the great,
pass it around, the great. That'll just about do it for the best of 2014. We wanted to put some more stuff in there, but it would have been about 6 days. You know, you can always listen to any episode we've ever done at PassTheGravyPod.com or on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever else you could possibly find podcasts. Thanks a lot to all of you that have listened to the show. We've really enjoyed your feedback and interacting with you guys. If you don't follow us on Twitter already, hit us up with some follows at PassTheGravyPod for the podcast itself. I am at Alex J. Middleton. Curtis is at Curtis Chavin. And Cole is at Words by Cole. Ryan Sullivan, who contributes regularly now with Tales from the Tinder Vault, you can follow him at @TheSoul_Ryan. Please share us with a friend. That is how we actually keep the pirate ship here going. Without you, no one gives a shit what we say. You guys have a great new year. We will talk to you in 2015, starting with episode 50. Pass the gravy, bitches. You don't even sell it fashion, no? Tell me someone thing Nancy can understand. Who one thing Nancy can understand? Mommy, they might talk about me ambition. So I make them, they might talk about me ambition. Come and say some of them ask me where me get it from. Tell some of them ask me where me get it from. I told them no, it's from creation. I told them no, it's from creation. Bam, bam, hey, yo. What a bam.
Bam 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 b Cause your big old sister Nancy make you go. I know it from me head straight down to my toes. I teach her down, sister Nancy on the go. And some of them are ask her, sister Nancy make you bad so. Long down the list, sister Nancy make you bad so. He bam bam, what a bam bam. He bam bam dilam, bam bam. He bam bam dilam, bam bam. What a bam bam. Hey, tell me some what a bam bam. This woman, I never trouble no one.